today is going to be a little bit different. You can maybe tell it's already a little different in the way we're set up. Today is what we call a celebration Sunday. We often do it on the fifth Sunday of a month, which only happens four times a year. It's an opportunity for you guys to be able to share testimonies. I don't know of anybody specifically who said, hey, I've got something I want to share, but I know there are a few out there who perhaps might. Val Goodwill, for instance. We talked last time, Val. You were going to share and you didn't. If there is anybody that wants to do that, just give that some thought. Be ready to say in a short time what it is you want to share about what God's teaching you, what you've been learning, how God has blessed you in these past weeks or months. So I invite you to be part of that. We'll move on to that. It'll be a free-flowing thing. If we have lots of testimonies, we'll drop a song. If there's not a testimony, we'll sing a song and we'll do something different. But it's that opportunity, and I would love for you to participate. This is a chance for us as a family to get to know one another better as we consider how God is at work among us. And so I invite you to that. So you might not be ready for a testimony just yet, so let's do something else that we've been doing recently. We've been working on memory verses of Matthew chapter 5, in particular the Beatitudes. Two verses a week, it's not a lot, but you got to keep up with it. And so let's go ahead to the Sermon on the Mount, the first, 10 verses or so. It should be where we are in 5 weeks in. So if you would join me, please stand. If you have it memorized, that's great. If you don't have it memorized, it's on the screen. Repetition is huge in memory work, so let's repeat the Sermon on the Mount. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 5, 1 through 10. Is there anybody who would like to start off with a testimony? Val, how about that? Who knew? I will bring you a mic.
Hi, all. So, as most of you know, last year I was working at Tops, and don't stop.
That's okay here.
I was working at the customer service desk, which was very challenging, dealing with the different variety of people that would come in. And I wanted to get out. That was my own selfishness. And I had been praying about it for a couple of years. But in the process, I could see why God had me there. So my manager that I worked under believes we're all a cult. And she, just the transformation in her working with me was just amazing. Like the first day I worked up there, she took the Lord's name in vain, and right away she looked at me, she was like, I'm so sorry. So I'm like, okay, so just kind of watch it, please, thank you. And so she really cleaned up her language. She cleaned up a lot. She still thinks we're a cult, but when she left, I gave her a Bible. And I just wrote a note in there, and I said, please don't throw this out. And she looked at me, she goes, I can't throw that out, I'm going to go to hell. So I'm like, okay, whatever you think to have you keep it. Maybe someday she'll read it. I'm praying she does. But in the meantime, still praying about getting a new job. So in October 31st, I started a new job working for Aspire, where I take individuals with disabilities of varying kinds out into the community. We do volunteer work, and then we do a recreation activity every day. So I wanted to be used somehow. And this is so cool. I get to volunteer at the food bank twice a week every week. Twice a week every week. And then, and I just found out Thursday, there's a wait list to work the food bank. And I got in through my job. I was like, wow, like that is God. And I deliver Meals on Wheels 4 times a week. Well, actually, that changed this week. It's going to be 3 times a week now. But that is something I was interested in doing. And my new job is going to the Science Center. Not my favorite thing, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. We go and clean a, during the day, we go to Buffalo and we clean a homeless shelter. Like, this is just so cool how I had to wait. And like most humans, I suppose, I'm not one ear for waiting, but as I'm getting older, I kind of see I need to wait a little bit. But this is just so cool. I never, never, never thought this could be what my answer was. So, yeah, and I'm able to come to church every Sunday. Oh, yeah, I forgot. We're cleaning the church, too. All this past Wednesday, I brought my group, and we were able to clean the church. So, okay, thank you.
Thank you, Val. Amen. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for when you're active in our lives, and we see it and recognize it and praise you for it, as Val shared her testimony. And we thank you that you are worthy of our praise even when we don't see it. When we have perhaps shut our eyes or turned our backs or drifted from you, you are still there. You are still worthy of our praise. Creator, majestic, sustainer of all things, the lover of our souls, our Redeemer, you are worthy and there is none like you. You are God and there is no other. You are God and you will share your glory with no other. We praise you today. We've joined together in our presence here today to bring you glory, to worship you, to encourage one another and support one another in that. So we pray that you would stir our hearts, you would transform us, and that we would be the people you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Opportunity for another testimony. Ann Baker.
I wasn't planning to speak, but I wanted just to encourage you. If you haven't tried Zoom on Thursday night, the Bible study, I just want to tell you it is such a good thing to do, because I would not really get into the Bible and study it if I didn't know that Thursday night there'd be some questions that I needed to know. And it's helping so much to appreciate going through Samuel, Nehemiah, now Romans. Roman is really, really a strong Bible study. So I just want to just say, if you haven't tried it, just try it 1 or 2 times and you'll be hooked. And also, we enjoy the fellowship when we see people that we haven't seen all week. So that's all I have.
Thanks, Ann. Tammy.
So in a couple of weeks, it's going to be 4 years since I sustained a really bad head injury at work. I went from being a nursing supervisor at a hospital and being in charge of the hospital to not remembering how to cook, not remembering where I parked my car. And I really struggled with it because I'd worked so hard to get to where I was in my career. And for the first year, I didn't even realize how bad I'd hurt myself. So we're almost 4 years out. This past year, I was able to do 8 months of neurofeedback, which either heals the brain or retrains the brain to work. And I have seen such progress in this last year. My speech is so much better. I remember things so much better, and we're getting to the point now where we're working on retraining my brain to be able to handle long periods of memory and things like that. So I'm hopeful that someday I'll be able to get back to work as a nurse, because it's something that I've been doing for almost 29 years, and I just loved it. But I want to thank you and for praying for me for the last 4 years, because it has been very difficult doing simple tasks like going grocery shopping and things like that. And I just know that some of you have prayed for me, and I so appreciate it. And all praise to God for healing my brain. And there's still some more work to be done, but I'm just very thankful for this church family and your prayers.
Thanks, Tammy. Amen. Other testimonies. One more. While I'm waiting for that, if there's another, I do have a thank you note from a ministry that we're part of in Haiti. You may know, Team 127 is an American-based ministry that I'm part of. My brother is actually the president of the ministry. He goes to Haiti like a week, every month, or every 6 weeks or so. And he works with a ministry called Divine Ministries and Hope for Children. And we've been working with them as a family, my brother and his son, particularly since 2008 or so. And our church has been supporting this ministry for a number of years as well. So we got a thank you note from the kids. Greetings from Divine Ministries. I want to thank every member and leader of Amherst Baptist Church who supported us to keep those poor children in school, feed them, and gave them a place to stay, etc. Your support helped save many children's lives. May our God continue to bless and protect you. Happy New Year. So that's from these kids who, some of them are, we would normally think of this place as an orphanage. They think of it as a house of blessing, a home of blessing. Kids come there not because their parents have died, but because their parents can't take care of them. They don't have enough money, they don't have a job, they whatever. We just received two new children who, their mother was killed. Five children in the family, two of the younger children came to live at Divine Hope, Divine Ministries. There's a location in Port-au-Prince, there's a location in Lakai. There's a newsletter that's out on the bulletin board out here if you'd like to catch up on that. Some of you would have received a newsletter this week, I think. So I invite you to be in prayer for them as well. One more opportunity for a testimony. Let's take a moment to pray for these kids. Lord God, we thank you for Tammy's testimony and for Val's testimony. Seeing you at work in our lives, seeing it, you at work in our lives through this body, Lord, we pray that we'd all be open to that, aware of that. We'd be volunteering and serving one another, but also recognizing that you are meeting our needs through this family. We thank you for those ministries that are beyond these walls, particularly I think of Divine Ministries and Hope for Children in Haiti. Numbers of orphans or children whose parents can't care for them, who are fed and clothed and sent to school and have opportunity that they would not otherwise have. Thank you for Pastor Daniel Jean, who runs that ministry, is also the pastor of the Church on Fire, and heads up other pastors and teaches other pastors how to proclaim your glory in really the backwoods of Haiti. And so we pray for your blessing on that ministry. Show us what you'd have us do as a church, whether there or somewhere else, wherever you would have us serve you, Lord, wherever you'd have us give resources or even go and serve, we ask for your blessing. Teach us now as we continue to worship you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2 to start out with today. Starting with verse 1, it says this: You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So we've been talking about these gentlemen coming out of the spy time, right? The Numbers chapter 13 and 14, talking about these guys who went over and determined within themselves not to obey the word of the Lord. And so we know the end probably before. Most of us know that story as far as the Israelites choose to disobey God. And to those two leaders, Joshua and Caleb, along with Moses and Aaron, they have the burden of leading the people in a time of great wilderness. A wilderness experience, if you will. A dry and dusty place in life. 40 full years where they're going to have to do their best to guide and direct a rebellious people. And so I'm looking at you today, our kingdom leaders, people who are willing to set their lives before the feet of Christ and say, I'm willing to serve you, and I'm willing to serve this world. We have talked about certain principles these last weeks. The principle of loving God, our vertical, talking about being just steadfast in our love of God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. But also seeing how in serving, we add a horizontal there, that we are connected with that love of God. And through that love of God, we are called to serve. And we are called to serve one another. And so, kingdom leaders, I look to you and I say, we're about to engage in a teaching, we'll say, that puts 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, to practice. How do we, as the Amherst Baptist Church, how do we breathe life into someone else that is coming up? It says, by strength of grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me, and in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men. Now, faithful men, faithful women, he's talking specifically to Timothy. Timothy is going to be bringing up the elders and the deacons of that church that he has given responsibility for. But I will expand it to say this. Men, women, and children, we are called to look at others who are coming so that we may lead them in Christ. By the grace of Christ, by the strength of Christ, we are called, no matter what our occupation, no matter what we fill our days up with, we are called to bring those who are down the hill up alongside with us. And in fact, we have been given a challenge by God to be not only Caleb's and Joshua while they were spies. Not only Caleb's and Joshua's while they gave the good report. Not only Caleb and Joshua when it came time to the 40 years of wilderness, but Caleb's and Joshua's when it comes time to cross the Jordan. When it comes time for us to move forward and go into the places that God has promised, we are called, ladies and gentlemen, kingdom leaders, to lead in the ways of Christ. In the ways of Caleb and Joshua and the mighty men of valor who have gone before us. We are called to be these leaders. And so as a Sunday school teacher, I would ask, you know, who are you bringing up underneath you? As an elder, who are you bringing to be an elder alongside? As a deacon, who are you bringing alongside? As a finance person, a teller, or whoever, who are you bringing along? In our everyday world, who are we bringing along in spiritual terms in our education system? You're a teacher, who are you spilling into, pouring into, that you could breathe life and to bring them to Christ? We are called to be kingdom leaders in those places too. And primarily, perhaps, for most of us. I see around here, I see firefighters and nurses and custodians and all kinds of other folks. Security people, pharmacists, students, and retired people too. Retired people who once were nurses and once were all these other things, right? And in the process of that, we are called in our retirement, yes, in our fully active lives, yes, to be kingdom leaders called by God into action to spill forth spiritual matter into those who will come next. And so today I'm just going to give you an overview of where I'd really like to lead you in the thought process. We've talked about this for some time, even the last business meeting back in, I think, November. We talked about the fact that we need to establish some system, as it were, so that we may know what it is that God would have us as Amherst Baptists to do to move forward. And so we're not just brushing off 2 Timothy. God has called us. Old Testament, he gives us great examples. New Testament, again, he gives us great examples, and he gives us the challenge across the Bible that those who have grown up in faith should be bringing up others who are growing up in faith. And that may be somebody who's with you that, like we were hearing testimony about, that may be somebody who is so far in our own minds away from God. It may be somebody we can't even imagine looking like Jesus. But we might be called to bring them up in Christ, to show them the path of discipleship. In your workplace, wherever you are, who is it that you are taking by the hand and taking steps to bring them to Christ? Perhaps they're already in Christ and you need to establish a discipleship time there as well. What you have heard and what you have seen in the presence of many witnesses, entrust this to faithful men and women who will be able to teach others also. You see another generation? We have three generations in that one verse. Paul, maybe four. Paul into Timothy, Timothy into other men, and those men who will be able to teach others also. It's four generations we can talk about in that one verse. We're talking about a generational springing up of godly kingdom leadership, where our intentionality is to bring somebody up behind us that will also bring somebody up behind us. What we're going to do for part of today is going to be this first part, this step number one. And that is to talk about and to focus on what are God's values. Now, some of you have been joining me on Sunday evenings, and we have talked about this now for a couple weeks. And so you have a little head start about what we're going to be talking about here. But in a short time, later on in the service, we are going to be actually engaging you and asking you about God's values. What do you sense? The Word of God, being people of the Word, what is it that you sense are the values of God's heart? What is it that fills God's heart that when we say, this is who God is, this is what He's all about, what would we be? And we're going to fill in some of that today. The second part of it, then, is to talk about what are the values of our church, Amherst Baptist Church. And we can see that by evaluating what it is that we do, right? We can say, we're going to fill this in as well, perhaps at the business meeting, if we get that far, after lunch together, we're going to be talking about this. What is it that fills up our schedules, our calendars, what is it that we really purpose at Amherst Baptist to do? What is our heart? I hope you'll be a part of that conversation as well. And then taking that, we're really going to see how the values are lived out. We're going to have to figure out how God's values and our values at Amherst Baptist are either in touch with each other or they're distant from each other. And fourthly, we have to make the alignment, adjusting what it is that is in our value system that does not equal God's value system. Is there something that we really strongly promote and we something do? I'm not saying there is, but that's part of the discussion, right? Is there something that we do? Is there a part of us that really does not coincide with the very heart of God's value system? If there's something that's in God's value system that He considers to be incredibly important, and we are not doing that, then we need to adjust. So we have four little steps here that we're going to be in. This is all really just one big move forward. Okay? And am I saying we're going to get this all done today by any means? Actually, I'm going to tell you we're not. But part of this, in about 10, 15 minutes from now, we're going to turn it back to you and ask you what it is that you sense is the values of God's heart. And what is the point of this? So that we may know what is God's will for the people here at Amherst Baptist. That we may grow leaders rightly, and that we may have a vision for where we are going to go as a body of Christ. This sounds reasonable. This is where you respond. Does this sound exciting to you? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's already bored out of your minds. I'm not really sure where you're at. But in a few minutes, we're going to find out if you are engage in this process, or if you just want everybody else to kind of do the work for you. But I really pray that the body of Christ, the kingdom leaders that are spread across this place, every one of you, you're going to take it to heart to say, let's dig deeply into seeing what it is that God really is about so that we can really be about that and realign ourselves accordingly. Amen?
So we have this challenge before us, and some of you might think, well, this is like a pep rally. We need to get going, and that is true. But perhaps even more so, we need to go back to where we were at the first week of January, where our call is to be submitted to what God wants to do, submitted to His transformation. So if you're not jazzed up about what, you know, I'm going to become a kingdom leader, then you need to be. And you need to start by saying, God, do in me what you want to do. So I'm going to invite you to a time of prayer, quiet prayer, silent prayer, that you would settle in and say, God, what are you doing? What are you calling me to? And then I would encourage you to say, whatever it is, I'm in. We've used a phrase in the past, you know, my yes is already on the table. I don't know what you're calling me to, but I'm in because of who you are. You're worthy of my worship. You're worthy of praise. Your majestic power and glory calls me to respond. So, yes, it's a pep rally, but it starts with us submitting to what it is He wants to do, not what we're ready to go do in our own strength. Let's spend a few moments in prayer. Lord God, our Father, we come to you in humility, recognizing that there are times when we can't see past this day or past this week, and yet you have an eternal plan. Before the foundation of the world, you had a plan to redeem us. You've carried out that plan to this date, and you will carry it on. You will complete the work you started in us. We don't want to fight against it. We don't want to go our own way. We desire for your Spirit to open our eyes and hearts to your voice, to your word, to one another, that we would be pleasing to you, that we would play our role. Not play acting, but to be used of you for your glory. So it is our heart, Lord, to submit to the transformation that you want to carry out. The renewing of our minds, the filling of our hearts with your word, the clearing of our hearts from envy and jealousy and anger, malice. All the things your word say we need to get rid of, Lord, we've not been successful entirely, and so we ask for your Spirit's work to complete that as well. That we might be before you holy and blameless and righteous. That we might hunger and thirst for righteousness, that you would fill us with them. That we would see your face, that we would be called your children. That you would grant us the kingdom of heaven. Lord, stir our hearts with a hunger for your word, a hunger for how to apply it and how to do that in community, as we have time in just a few minutes to be able to share that together, help us to be bold. We're all a family together. We can hear from one another and we can encourage one another, and so we pray for your blessing in that as well. Transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. Is there another testimony that someone would like to share? Michelle.
I am very new to the church, but I'm not new to Jesus. And my children are 5, 7, and 18. And so when my children were twelve, fourteen, somewhere in there, we lived in a tiny little province, an island called Newfoundland. And so I had my two babies back to back. And so I was dealing with a little bit of postpartum depression and also some childhood trauma. And so I started going to a church that played one of the songs that we just sang. And when you were talking about community, like those people just surrounded me, loved me, took care of me, and let me be vulnerable and cry. And so I'm just so thankful to the Christian community all over the world. Doesn't matter who you are. It's like when you find a church, you know your home, right? And so it took me a few years with God's direction to seek the freedom that I wanted within all those things. Daily by daily, it's getting a whole lot better. And I can see where I'm growing and I can see where I want to be at. and it's just really amazing how I look back on the last couple of years, few years, that where I came from and where I am now. And it's like completely different. Like when you said the word transformed, I completely believe that. So thank you.
Thanks, Michelle. Amen. Amen. One more testimony? Any? Jeff, please.
Some of you know that I work at Hearts for the Homeless, which is a ministry that supports the homeless in Western New York. And pretty much all the time, most of my function over there is in an administrative capacity. I used to be going out and picking up clothing and sometimes even go out on the streets. And when we share food with individuals who are homeless or chronically poor, we share the gospel with them. But I, of recent, have been insulated from that part of the ministry. And until Wednesday afternoon, I got a call up in my ivory tower office. And one of the girls in the thrift store on the campus there said, there's a gentleman here, he's asleep on the floor by the door. Can you come down and help us out with that? And I went down there, and when I got within a few steps of this gentleman, it was obvious that he was drunk and he was not able to function. So what I did was I propped him up. He began to get a little belligerent with me, saying he was going to kill me. And he said, what do you want to kill me for? You don't even know me. Using foul language. And what I got to tell you, I was repulsed just by his presence. He was drooling everywhere. When he was awake, he was spitting. When I had to help him, I had to hug him to get him up in a sitting position. And I realized that he had soiled himself, and the smell of the alcohol on him was obtrusive. And I'm thinking to myself the whole time, how am I going to go back to my office with my other coworkers? They're going to think I'm in a bad way. So I called 911. They said, okay, we'll get someone over there as soon as we can. Is he in pain? Is there anything immediate that he needs attention for? I go, no, I think he's just got a hangover. And they said, okay, we'll get there when we can. But in the meantime, if he vomits, just roll him over on his side. And I'm thinking to myself this whole time, what in the world am I doing here with this homeless person who is so, at this moment, very repulsive to me? So he started to fade off into another little slumber, and I'm sitting there waiting for the police, and they were going to send an ambulance to come. And the Lord convicted me. This is why I was reluctant to give you this testimony, because the Lord convicts me, and it doesn't put me in a very good Christian light. So, but the Lord began to talk to me, and he said, you know, before you came to know me, you didn't soil yourself, you didn't get drunk, you weren't as repulsive as this gentleman is to you. But your condition before my throne, before you came to accept my son Jesus Christ, was just as repulsive to me as this gentleman is to you. So the Lord brought me back to the reason why, number one, we were in the ministry, but most of all, what our condition is before the Lord, before we came to know him, and after we came to know him. This gentleman was washed, will be washed as white as snow, if and when he ever comes to know the Lord. And if we have opportunity to do that, we will do that in our ministry. But the Lord just needed to remind me that, you know, where I came from. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff.
Because a lot of what we're talking about here is really reflective, right? It's looking inside of ourselves to understand who it is that this God, who this God is that we serve. We say that we love him with an undying love, then that has to spill out into our service of others. Let them see your good works and therefore glorify your God, right? It also means that we plead on their behalf, is what we talked about last week. We love God, we serve others, we plead on their behalf, as we saw in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. And today, I'm going to ask you, when you look down through the Word of God, and I have some starters here if you need the help, but my suspicion is that you will not need the help. When I ask you, what is the heart of God? Now, I am asking for your participation in this. When I ask you what the heart of God is, what is it that you sense? This is very central to who God is. This is very important to him. And maybe Sam, I know you're a little injured here. If you would not mind running the microphone so that we can hear people in real time. So does anybody wish to offer? Right here, Miss Sharon, right there. Run, Sammy, run.
Oh, go ahead.
And then as you put it up, as you say it, Scott's going to add it to our whiteboard up here.
I think the heart of God, he's been convicting me for some time with this, and I don't feel equipped to do it, but I believe the heart of God is to go out and seek the lost.
Okay, good. So seeking the lost. Do you have any scriptures? Anybody help out with any scriptures that would help us to see that as something that perhaps is clearly stated as a value of God's heart?
Matthew 28
says, you're talking about the Great Commission?
Oh, yeah.
Or the Great Commission. So go therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. Does say that he's going to be with us. I'd also point to the words of Jesus Christ, who says himself, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. If you were to put a point on what Jesus said was his purpose, it was to seek and to save the lost. Well, I'd say that's definitely up there. Somebody else wish to... Over in the far corner, somewhere?
Right here. Good morning. Reading Matthew this new year, just came across the verse where the Pharisees and the Lord's talked with them. What is the greatest commandment? To love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. And so it shows that God is a God who needs to be worshipped, and he is holy, and that we need to love others as he would have us. And I admit, I don't always do that.
Okay,
thank you.
So two major pieces. I think we had a little diagram last week that was sent out. The great love statement of God is love God and love others. Loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I think is already mentioned here today. So, but I put that actually as two different aspects. Loving God and loving and serving others. All right? major aspects. And then, as we've talked in our Bible study on Sundays, underneath each of these umbrellas, you'll see that not only would certain commandments from the Ten Commandments fall into place, if you talk about loving God, in other words, which of the Ten Commandments fall there? Well, the first four, right? If you look down through Exodus 20 and you see that there's Ten Commandments dedicated, the first four are dedicated to loving God. The next six, starting with honor your father and mother, that goes to loving others, serving others. So this is where Jesus comes out with this grand statement. What is the greatest commandment? He says, love God and love others. And really, all the law and the prophets hinge on these two things, love God and love others. So ultimately, what we're saying here, what Bob is saying here, is that everything that we're going to be talking about, all the values of God are going to fall under loving God. But important, I would say, love God. I would say something you said there was worship God. Worship of God is a major value of His heart. And if that's something that we have to, as believers, we have to kind of get over that piece in our head that we think that God has an ego, therefore, and we have to get beyond this. Because God's, if you want to say He has an ego, it is fully righteous. It is fully worthy. For me to have an ego is not worthy. For God to have an ego and to have to say, you should worship me, that is fully righteous. It is fully good and it is fully right. And so I think it's important for us to put up a strong value of God is that He is worshipped. Good. Somebody else. Okay.
I think it's important to God also that we find freedom. I think He wants us to be free from the things that hinder Him, be it chains from the past or chains in the present.
Okay, good. So in our set of values that we put out as Amherst Baptist a vision statement, we say thriving, multiplying, joy-filled. And when you say joy-filled, you're talking about that freedom, that release from the things of the past, the things of the old, grow strangely dim, and we hold fast to who Christ is, right? Do we have a scripture that goes with that? Paul says, it was for freedom that we have been set free. So freedom is most definitely and that probably encapsulates a lot of the mindset that Paul speaks of throughout his epistles. But the freedom and the joy and the graceful living of a Christian is a high priority of God. He includes it in a lot of his scripture. Right? Old Testament and New Testament. Perhaps there's time for us to wrangle about words here, and that's possible. That's part of the conversation. But for right now, we're just going to put some things up. Somebody else. The value of God's heart.
I think under serving others, God particularly calls out orphans, widows, foreigners, and prisoners, particular people groups that He values because they're so often neglected.
Absolutely. So that was actually the full study for the last 2 weeks in our Sunday night program, Sunday night Bible study. We have been talking about that value specifically. The love and the service of the poor, the widow, the needy, the orphan, the outcast, the alien, all these words that are used throughout lots and lots of times in the Old Testament, as we found out, lots and lots of times in the New Testament, and this is pure and undefiled religion, right? That you take care of the widows and the orphans and you keep yourself unstained from the world. That's James chapter 1. So lots of scripture to go along with that as well. I have an entire sheet, in fact, filled, I think three sides of a sheet from our Bible study with just scripture about the poor, the widow, the needy, the orphan, and the outsiders. Anybody else? Michelle over here.
And Ann over there.
And Ann is down here.
Pastor Eric, you mentioned other religions, other faiths.
Okay. So part of his the value of his heart is to, what about them? To evangelize and to love them, okay? So the love, and for some of us, you're talking about those are, even in our mind, even if they're, we'll say, Americans, they're still foreign to us in the Christian world, right? They're the outside. They're the lost. They're the people who do not understand, do not know anything of the things of God, of our God, and they attain a different, or they attain to a different faith or religion. So absolutely. To care for, so would we say evangelism is definitely part of that, and to help to disciple people. Do you disciple people before they're actually in Christ? Some people would argue no, but I would argue the other way. I think that discipleship starts with your heart, not their heart. Discipleship has to do with you seeing them as people who can be in Christ. Not so distant and so far away that they could never make it, right? So that's our heart. If we lack in evangelism, this is maybe a different sermon for a different day, but if we lack in evangelism, that's an issue of our heart. That's not really about the world and how bad they are. That's our heart. Because we're not really called to change their hearts. We're called to go forth and give the gospel to every man, woman, and child.
Pastor Eric, you almost stole my thought.
Sorry.
It sounds like wonderful values. I think our first value should be that we are forgiven before we do anything at all. We got to have a pure heart to be able to do all that.
Okay, so God has a value that his people, and I would say this, let me read some of these. I have some scriptures to go along with that. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. This is 1 Thessalonians 4:3. That this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, you becoming holy and pure, that you keep away also from sexual immorality. Okay, so you talk about our forgiveness, but also our sanctification, our coming, and our holification, if you will, okay? Our becoming holy. That's a very strong point of God. And in that holiness, you're going to see a lot of different kind of Christian characteristics, right? Give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. You need endurance so that you have done God's will. You receive what has been promised. Talking about the not only the forgiveness and that promise, but also the true life that comes after that, okay? And through that forgiveness then flows other things, other pieces in character. So yes, a strong value of God's forgiveness upon our lives, his church, others.
Just thinking about this, I'm reminded of Micah 6:8. Where it says, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God?
Okay. So justice, kindness, which that word actually, and that is that hasid word we've talked about in this church, that's that loving kindness or that grace-filled kindness. It's almost undescribable within the English language, okay? He expects you to have this grace towards people. What is it that he calls for? He calls for you to love mercy, to do justice, and to walk humbly. What about humility? God doesn't have a value of humility for himself, but oftentimes, in those three, he's looking for us as people to be humble, right? Not just looking, but that is a requirement. So I would say that fits in those three things, absolutely. What about justice? It's hard to talk about poor and needy and the outcast and the orphan and the widow and not talk about justice. God's heart is righteous. He loves righteousness. Many will see and fear, and they'll put their trust in the Lord. What is he saying? This is David in the Psalms. He loves justice and mercy, and he looks for it in his people, so that many will see and fear, and they will put their trust in God. It's one of our greatest evangelism tools, is us being just, gracious, merciful. So you see that there's different kinds of tiers here. We have tiers, T-I-E-R, you know, levels. We have different kind of levels here because there's things that are just, this is who God is. Is he justice? Absolutely. Is he mercy? Absolutely. Is he there for the lost? Is he evangelism? Absolutely. These things are there. And then there's another tier below that. It's like, because he is this, this is what he expects of his people. So that's really a part more so of the next session down the hall when we get to that point. Are we good? Does anybody else have something that's just bursting out that they want to? Yes. Brother Jack.
Certainly when it comes to humility, God is the perfect example of humility as he comes to earth. The King of Kings comes to earth as a child. Okay, the most humble of all creatures. I believe that another thing that we must do as the followers of Christ is to lay our lives down. Now, we mentioned certain particular factions like foreigners, prisoners, and so on and so forth. I think a very important vision that we must have is for those that are the younger generation. The older folks, you know, 50 and above, have to have stronger shoulders. We want to get those folks on our shoulders. Allow these young folks to reach even higher than we can. You know, just have the attitude of giving our lives over to those that are the next generation for the glory of God.
So how do we wrap that into it? Did you put something else? What was that? Self-sacrificing? Okay, good. Let's close this part down and we'll continue. For those of you going to join us, I hope virtually all of you, if you have the will and ability to do so, that you'll join us down there for lunch. We'll continue this conversation, talking really about Amherst Baptist. Outside of a couple of business things that we need to get accomplished through that, we're going to spend a good amount of time talking about how this looks. What is our value system as Amherst Baptist? And so I would ask that you would consider joining us for that. But I think it's really important for us to realize that for us to say it is one thing, all this stuff. For us to say it is one thing. For us to really engage and to put it into practice is another thing. We are called to be the people of God. We are called to be kingdom leaders. We are challenged today to find somebody who is in the process of becoming a kingdom leader as well, and to grab them by the hand and to pull them with us. This is, again, we'll stress this throughout. This is not about getting really good church leaders, teachers, that kind of stuff. That's part of it, certainly. We want that. But our vision is so much more about how you live your life out day to day, every day. You as a kingdom leader, out there in the real world, leading people in Christ that they may see your good works and glorify the Father. And so what we have seen and what we have heard in Paul to Timothy, and Timothy down the line, what we have now heard and seen, give this to faithful men and women who would take this and run it, and go forward. Generations generations. What keeps us from doing this oftentimes? Or from a pastor standpoint, perhaps, but I think also for a lot of us in whatever positions we have. What keeps you from bringing somebody up next to you to teach them all that you have? Some of it's pride. Some of it's concern of our position, our power, prestige, whatever that may be, look like. There's a lot of hundreds of different reasons why we as humans, even in the body of Christ, we hesitate from doing what God calls us to do in this. And I think we really just need to spend a good amount of time, even closing out here today, just praying that God would just open our hearts, open our minds, allow us to be humble enough to see that we ought to be pouring our lives into others continuously. This is not a once and done thing. This is an ongoing stream, a cascade down through the ages, the generations. And that's the church that I pray that we are having here, that we are building up, that's our mindset. So let's pray. Our Father and our God, our King, we so much wanted to understand the value of your heart, so that, Lord God, that it may tweak and change and transform our hearts to look more like you. I pray for Amherst Baptist Church, Lord God, as a body, that, Lord God, that what breaks your heart would break our hearts. That when we see the lost and the poor and the needy, that it breaks our heart as it breaks your heart. That it causes us to run and engage. Oh God, we pray for the lost of Willow Ridge. Lord God, we pray for those who have no knowledge of you, sitting right here within a half a mile of where we sit today. And I pray, Lord God, that the values within us would be such that they would be driving us, Lord God, to engage with the lost. Lord, I pray for this intimate desire of yours for worship with your body, your people. And I would pray, Father God, that you would do something mighty within us, Lord God, that you would stimulate us, that day by day, moment by moment, that you would make us to be a people of worship, because that's your heart. And whatever walk of life we find ourselves, in our workplace and in our duties and in our retirement, and all of the above, and in our activities with the community, or whatever it may be, Lord God, that, Lord Jesus, we would be worshipers of you first and foremost, and everything else would spill out of that. Oh God, that they may see our good works and glorify you, our Father God. Where we need to change, Lord God, we pray that you give us the humility to see your face and change. Lord God, help us, we pray.